He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. I'm Bob, and this is podcast number 76. It's February 24, 2015. Well, today, decision-making. It's also something we do by faith. We talk about giving by faith and living by faith. We have to make decisions from time to time, and that also is based on faith in God's Word. Will George Mueller be allowed a second orphanage as he struggles with God about this? We're reading from his autobiography, and yesterday we talked about reasons for not establishing in his thinking, and now he gives the reasons for establishing. This is how he makes decisions. He goes to the Word of God and he listens to his heart and listens to his mind and sees if there's stuff on either side and then makes a decision based on what God has said and what God is telling him. Reasons for establishing another orphan house. Number one, many applications for admission continue to come in. I consider it a call from God for me to do everything in my power to provide a home and scriptural education for a greater number of orphans. I cannot refuse to help as long as I see a door opened by God. Number two, the moral state of the poorhouses greatly influences me to go forward. I have heard from good authority that the children placed in these houses are corrupted by the immoral people who live there. Number three, I am further encouraged by the great help which the Lord has given me in this blessed service. And when I look at the small beginning and consider how the Lord has helped me for more than 15 years in the orphan work, I'm confident about going forward. Number four, my experience and capabilities have grown with the work. As director of the work under God, from its smallest beginnings, I'm responsible to Him to use the abilities He has given me. These things, in connection with the former reasons, seem to be a call from God to go forward in a greater degree than ever. Number five, the spiritual benefit of more orphans is another reason why I feel called to go forward. I desire more for them than mere decency and morality. I want them to become useful members of society. We teach them to work and instruct them in useful skills for this life. Number six, I cannot be satisfied with anything less than the orphans' souls being won for the Lord. Since this is the primary aim concerning the dear orphans, I long to be more extensively used than ever, even that I may have 1,000 of them under my care. Number seven, my greatest desire is to show forth the glory of God and His readiness to hear prayers. Number eight, I am peaceful and happy in the prospect of enlarging the work. This perfect peace that I feel after all the heart-searching, daily prayer, and studying the Word of God would not be the case if the Lord had not intended to use me more. Well, therefore, on the ground of the objections answered in these eight reasons for enlarging the work, I have come to the conclusion that it is the will of God that I should serve Him by enlarging the work. January 4, 1851. The Lord has given me precious proof that He is delighted when we expect great things from Him. I have received £3,000 this evening, the largest donation I have ever had. Far larger sums are expected in order that it may be even more apparent that the best way to obtain financial means for the work of the Lord is simply to trust Him. My joy in God on account of this donation cannot be described. I take the money out of the hands of the living God. My soul is calm and peaceful without any emotional excitement, although the donation is so large. Like a voice from heaven, it encourages me to build another orphan house. May 24. 92 more orphans have applied for admission. This is from January to May. 78 are already on the waiting list. This number increases rapidly as the work becomes more widely known. I will go forward in this service and build, to the praise and honor of the living God, another orphan house large enough to accommodate 700 orphans. The greatness of the sum required to accomplish this work gives me special joy. The greater the difficulty to be overcome, the more it will be seen how much can be accomplished by prayer and faith. When God overcomes our difficulties for us, we have the assurance that we are engaged in His work, not our own. So we move on to the next chapter, which will be a short one, May 26, 1851. The Christian should never worry about tomorrow or give sparingly because of a possible future need. Only the present moment is ours to serve the Lord, and tomorrow may never come. Money is really worth no more than as it can be used to accomplish the Lord's work. Life is worth as much as it is spent for the Lord's service. Any occupation can be used to serve the Lord, but certain principles must be followed in secular work. The Christian must guard against any attitudes or practices that will keep him from experiencing God's abundant prosperity. God is not likely to bless anything that leads a believer to depend more on himself or his circumstances than on the living God. For example, the Christian businessman should not feel compelled to have an extravagant shop, use boastful advertisements, or rent the most desirable and expensive location in order to have a prosperous business. Of course, his shop should be clean and orderly. He should announce the availability of his product and be located conveniently for customers. But he must not trust in these things as the reason for his ultimate success. A believer should rest and trust only in God. The children of God often use such expressions as, "This is our busy time," or "This is our slow time." This implies that they are not seeking God daily about their calling. Instead, they ascribe their prosperity to times and seasons. The scripture says, "He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief," Matthew 13:58. It contains a truth which may be applied here. The child of God should say, "About this time of the year, business is generally slow, but I desire to serve God in my business and to help those who are in need. And by prayer and faith, I can obtain a blessing from my Heavenly Father, although this is usually not a busy season." A further reason why God may not bless His children in their business may be because they're careful to hire, quote, "good salesmen," that is, people who have such persuasive ways that they gain an advantage over the customers. They convince them not only to buy the articles for which they ask, whether suitable or not, but they also induce customers to buy things they didn't intend to buy at all. This is no less than defrauding people in a subtle way, leading them into the sin of purchasing beyond their means, or at least spending their money needlessly. Although such sinful tricks may be allowed to prosper in the case of a man of the world, a child of God who uses such tactics will not be blessed. Another reason why children of God do not succeed in their calling is that they try to begin their business with too little capital. If a believer has no capital at all, or very little capital in comparison with what his business requires, he should ask himself, "If it is my Heavenly Father's will that I begin this business, He would have given me the money I need to get started. And since He has not, is this a plain indication that for now I should remain at my present job?" God can provide the money in a variety of ways, but if He does not remove the hindrance, and the brother still goes into business and buys everything he needs on credit, he'll only give himself reason to worry about bills. The best thing for a brother to do in this circumstance is to acknowledge his sin and seek God's merciful help to bring him into a right position. Suppose all these previous points are carried out, but we neglect to seek God's blessing on our calling. We should not be surprised if we meet with difficulty upon difficulty. It's not enough that we seek God's help for spiritual things. We should seek His help and blessing by prayer and supplication for all our ordinary concerns in life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. May 30th. Our work among the orphans is growing. Since the formation of the institution in 1834 until today, 5,343 children have been taught in the various day schools in Bristol alone. The Sunday school had 2,379 people. 1,896 persons were in the adult school. We also assisted thousands in the schools outside of Bristol. The Lord gladdened our hearts by the work of His Holy Spirit among the orphans. I'm depending on God alone to enlarge the orphan work. Before I told anyone else what I planned to do, I gave the record of my thoughts on this subject to a dear Christian friend to read. I did this so that I might have the counsel of a prayerful, wise, and cautious man of God. When this brother returned the manuscript, he encouraged me and gave me some money for the building fund. This was my first donation for the house, and it was a precious confirmation to me that I should go ahead with my plans. June 21. 24 days have passed since I have waited in faith on the Lord for money. So far, a little more than £28 have come in, but I'm not discouraged. The less that comes in, the more earnestly I pray, the more I look out for answers, and the more assured I am that the Lord, in His own time, will send me all I need. August 12. I've been praying earnestly every day that the Lord would send in money for the building fund. My soul is at peace, although only a little money has come in. Satan tries to shake my confidence and lead me to question whether I've been mistaken concerning this whole matter. Yet he has not been allowed to triumph over me. I've asked the Lord to refresh my spirit by sending a large donation. This morning, I received £500 for the new building. I was expecting a large donation, and I would not have been surprised if £5,000 had come in. Praise the Lord for this precious encouragement. September 13. Patience and faith still needed. My desire is to let patience have its perfect work. Not one penny has come in today for the building fund, but five more orphans have applied for admission. The more I look at things according to natural appearances, the less likely it seems that I will ever get the sum I need. But I have faith in God, and my expectation is from Him alone. The Lord can change the circumstances instantly. I continue, therefore, to wait upon God and seek to encourage my heart by His word. While He delays giving me answers, I will be occupied in His blessed work. The number of applications for admission of orphans quickens me to prayer and encourages me that the Lord will give me the desires of my heart to provide a home for these children. March 17, 1852. My heart has been greatly encouraged by a donation of nearly £1,000. I cannot describe to anyone how refreshing this donation is to my faith. After waiting for weeks and receiving so little, this answer to many prayers is sweet to my spirit. May 20. Several of the orphans who left the establishment during this year had been converted before they left. Several other young people who were under our care a few years ago are strong Christians today. The spiritual growth of children gives us joy and comfort. Amid difficulties, trials, and discouragements, we have abundant reason to praise God for His goodness and to go forward in the strength of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God, and I hope that you will continue tomorrow to see exactly where this story is going. The book is almost finished. Thank you for staying with me during this whole thing, off and on. We will get back to the persecuted church and some personal things that I'm putting together. I told you about a work that I have been researching. The research is just about finished. And I'm going to talk about a particular man. Yeah, I will show you why it's appropriate at times to talk about a particular man and who has been in the church throughout the world, he says, anyway, and has been doing some things that are very, very unusual. And he's claiming a whole lot of things have happened and miracles, and I believe in all of those things. I believe in miracles. But as I read this man's book, there were just some red flags that went up. And I want to talk about this man, not because it's to try to come against a man, but to show you what's going on out there and how you need to be very careful about what's going on. God will not be deceived, and I don't want his people to be deceived either. So anyway, this we'll be coming up with that here in, I don't know, a week or two. Hope you will stay with me until then. Remember that Matthew 13:58, which we began with, says that Jesus did not do many mighty works in some places because of their unbelief. Let that stay with you today.